This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
All right. My next guest wrote an outstanding opinion piece. iPhone's facial recognition could lead to real-life Minority Report. Kimberly Whaley is a professor of law at the University of Baltimore School of Law and a former assistant United States attorney, associate independent counsel in the Whitewater investigation, and author of the forthcoming book, The Outsourced Constitution, How Public Power in Private Hands Erodes Democracy. Professor Whaley, thanks for joining us here in Philadelphia.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
I heard about the iPhone, the new iPhone 10, I guess it is, and two things raised red flags for me. Number one, the price, $1,000. And then number two, this facial recognition. And the first thing that I thought of was, given what happened with the iPhone recently, where there was this whole big battle over whether or not the government could force Apple to unlock a phone, could the government force someone to unlock their iPhone by holding up the iPhone to their face?
Well, my understanding is there isn't a clear answer to that. Apple's, I think, taken the position that it's very difficult to do, but that's one of the many things that I think we just don't know about this technology. I mean, what's interesting to me about it is the lack of public awareness of its implications and the lack of sort of legal and other mechanisms for ensuring that it's not abused and isn't used in ways that we can't even anticipate at this point.
So let's start with the idea, first of all, is, as you write, tens of millions of loyal Apple users will soon be handing over detailed scans of their faces to the tech giant to do what it pleases.
Right. So think about what we use now to get into our personal and professional data. We use PIN numbers, and we're told from the time we first started using computers to keep it in a safe place, don't share it, change it on a regular basis. Well, this kind of technology essentially transforms your face into your PIN. So it's like walking around with a Sharpie marker having written your PIN on your forehead. Now your face is going to be unlocking this kind of information, and it has a whole host of implications for privacy, for law enforcement, and just for the sense of being able to be anonymous if we choose, right? So receding into a large crowd and then coming out of it again to be recognized. Those kinds of freedoms, for lack of a better word, are now, I think, in some peril, and we're the technology is changing so quickly that lawmakers and policymakers, judges who construe the Constitution, just haven't had a chance to catch up and see or make laws and rules to make sure that our privacy is going to be protected.
Let's talk about some of those implications, because I think a lot of people hear that and they think, okay, but if I've done nothing wrong, I have nothing to worry about, so what's the big deal?
Yeah, I hear that I've heard that reaction, but I've also heard the reaction from people who have had encounters with law enforcement and say, well, if you've had an encounter with law enforcement, you can't be all that confident. I mean, I think there are two elements that make this a little bit different, and that is, for the first, a lot of this can be done in secret, which means there isn't the same level of community pushback to overzealous law enforcement that might happen if someone's arrested on the street or their home is broken into without a warrant. This kind of search of biometric data and other big data can be done, you know, inside a police car or behind a computer in an office where the target doesn't even know that their data is being searched. The second piece is that it can perform investigative functions at breakneck speed compared to prior to, you know, the big data revolution, where you actually needed human beings to sit and pore through information, files, photos, do 24-hour surveillance. So it allows the police and law enforcement and national security organizations to have a tremendous amount of more power to do things, just because it's a lot more efficient to do it with an algorithm than it is with a human being actually logging in the hours.
And if the police say, we want to get into your phone, and you say, no, get a warrant first. If it's facial recognition, I mean, couldn't they just hold the phone up to your face?
That's my understanding. I mean, I'm not an expert on the technology, but apparently it can be sort of flouted by blinking or not keeping your eyes open and for long periods of time. But you know, we can imagine all kinds of scenarios in which that's just not feasible for long term, for the point to actually defeat police or anyone else from actually opening your phone under a situation where you just don't have the kinds of choices that we do when we're not under duress.
But would it even be considered privacy? Because you raise a point in your piece, which is, you know, if you're walking outside in public, your face is not considered to be private. So it's a little bit different than, say, your password, which is your thoughts, right, as you point out, or your blood, which is inside you. I mean, your face is, it's your face. So
absolutely. So the Fourth Amendment ban on unreasonable searches and seizures is sort of the main part of the Constitution that protects us from unreasonable snooping by government. But the way the Supreme Court for years and years has construed that is to think of your private spaces as physical spaces. So sort of intruding in something that you've closed the door. So you imagine sort of redcoats in the American Revolution banging down doors and rifling through somebody's cabinets. Well, a face, if you're walking down the street, that's not behind any closed door. You're basically making it public. That's, you've in a way waived your right to object to the government seeing it because you're letting everybody see it. And so I think the Supreme Court, certain members, justices in the Supreme Court are aware of the fact that Fourth Amendment doctrine is kind of not keeping up with the times, but the courts move very, very, very slowly. And so my concern is that, you know, the horse is going to be long out of the barn before policymakers, Congress, state legislators, and courts figure out how to make sure that this doesn't get to a situation where none of us have real privacy. I mean, the FBI has been developing for years what's called a next-generation identification system that uses not just facial recognition technology, but other biometric data, handprints, fingerprints, other public information about people. And I think the objective is to have a permanent recognition file on anyone who's in the database. And now with, you know, iPhone, where there's certainly really high-tech facial scans of all of the users, it just exponentially increases the possibility of abuse without some kind of oversight, which isn't happening. I mean, people just aren't even aware of it.
Well, I'm excited to read your book. When does it come out?
I'm hoping for the spring of 2018.
The Outsourced Constitution, How Public Power in Private Hands Erodes Democracy. Professor Kimberly Whaley, professor of law at the University of Baltimore School of Law and former assistant United States attorney and associate independent counsel in the Whitewater investigation. Hey, professor, thanks so much. A lot more to come on this as the years go by. So we'll see. Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.